Maybe I'm crazy, but sports are back this week! Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Maybe I'm crazy, maybe I'm crazy, maybe I'm not.
Welcome to Maybe I'm Crazy Podcast. I'm Joy Taylor. I am very excited. Sports are back. We made it, y'all. There's a lot going on, but we are here. Hope you're well. Thank you so much for joining me this week. We go back into the NBA bubble. 8 days in now, we'll talk to Mark Spears of The Undefeated. He is going to let us know everything that's going on in there. It's really crazy. And some very, you know, uplifting, inspiring stuff as well. He's a good friend. Very excited to talk to him. Of course, Crazy Gang is all here. Heller, Donnie, and T with the Culture Report. So we'll talk about Kanye. We will talk about Ted Cruz and Mark Cuban beefing, boycott crowd, Antonio Brown, and we'll get into, of course, sports coming back, which I'm very, very excited for. But let's get started with Mark Spears. All right, very excited to have my friend Mark Spears, senior writer for The Undefeated, on the podcast. This is your first time on the podcast, so I appreciate you joining me, even if it is live from the bubble.
But everybody's curious about the bubble, right? So it's kind of cool, right?
Well, you guys are part of history, really. Like, I don't know if I can handle it. I mean, it's so interesting to me because the setup is so unique. And like I said, I talked to Taylor Rooks, talked to Mark Medina last week, and now you guys really are. You're going to be in documentaries 20 years from now. You know, like when we're talking yeah. about all this for years to come, like you can say you were there. You experienced it firsthand.
No, I think it is definitely a cool bar story once we're able to go back to the bar.
Which may be a really long time.
You know, like, this is history. And because of the social justice stuff that's happening, like, and Joy, you know, that's really important to me. And what I do with Undefeated is twicefold. You know, they're just hearing what these guys have to say. Like, if anybody was worried about them keeping hope alive in here, they're just getting started.
Well, that's great.
I'm really excited to see what they got planned, what they're talking about behind the scenes come to reality. And then we got this science experiment going on at the same time. So this is like the most unique experience of my life. And I've done a lot of stuff.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's unprecedented times for so many reasons, right? Like just COVID itself, none of us have experienced anything like this. I mean, none of us were around for the Spanish flu at the, you know, beginning of the century. Just the, you know, the government shutdown and everything that's going on with politics, as you mentioned, social justice in a completely new wave than I've certainly seen in my lifetime, being 33 years old. So it's a lot, but I think that the NBA has done an amazing job. Owners too, you know, Mark Cuban's been having a lot to say about it as of recent, to not only support the players as far as health and safety, listening to what they want and what they need as far as restarting the season, but also making it very clear that we're going to support the players and what they have to say about social justice as well.
Yeah, and I'm going to say this, you being a black woman, you should be proud of your boys in here because they are saying Breonna Taylor's name, you know, and I don't want to get emotional about that, but that's cool.
It is. I am very proud. I'm very proud of not just NBA players, but a lot of, especially the young athletes who have really recognized, you know, we have, our voice has a lot of power. We have a lot of influence and we're not replaceable.
Yeah.
We're just not.
So
whatever we got to say, you got to listen to.
Like, I don't think a day has gone by where I haven't heard her name.
That's amazing.
Not a day. Today was CJ McCollum. You know, like every day somebody says her name. So if you're worried about her name, because I kind of felt like before we got here, things were kind of quieting and the protests have stopped. COVID is taking over the news again. But at least in here, and maybe this is the only place where it's loud in America, but at least in here, it's daily, man. It's daily. And there's going to be something that's going to happen at the games that's going to be unique and special. I talked to Anthony Davis today, and he's like, we're not tipping our hat. We're not telling y'all what we're doing. But he said, as a team, we're talking daily, trying to figure out what we want to do. Because, like, when you look at the Lakers, they got the biggest platform. You know, Anthony Davis and LeBron aren't going to wear a social justice message on the back of their jersey. And that's their prerogative. I applaud the guys that are. I think it's amazing to do that. You know, I've been talking to Kyle Korver, and I think of a white man that has Black Lives Matter on the back of his jersey. Like, come on, man, that's dope. You know what I mean? But in the same token, like, LeBron and AD feel like they got something else they could do. You know, LeBron got something up his sleeve. It might be a commercial. It might be, like AD said, he's got some unique shoes that are going to have a message. But the Lakers have the biggest platform. So I'm really, really curious a week from today what they do. But I'm curious about what everybody does. Like, I want to go to every game, not only to watch hoop, because, like, yo, I was in the gym yesterday, and to see Melo working on his jumper and CJ and Dame doing things together and Taco Fall and Jason Tatum playing one-on-one and Pascal Siakam working on some moves. I'm like, yeah, we're back to hoop. We're getting back to hoop. But then you go to the arena and check out the arena today, and it brings you back because it says Black Lives Matter on the court. There's Black Lives Matter flags by the arena that they're going to play in. So it's just, it's a lot, man. There's really a lot to uncover here. And it's deep. It's really deep here. And I hope that the people on the outside can, I don't know if they can feel it yet, but they're going to feel it.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if they can feel it yet, but you're giving me a lot of inspiration about what could be coming for viewers. And that's why I respected what Kyrie said about, you know, it might be a distraction if we come back and play. But I felt like everything that you're saying now is why it was important to come back and play. Obviously, we know the economic impacts of not finishing the season. We know, you know, that there's a whole ripple effect if they hadn't come back, as far as all those things are concerned. But as far as the movement and the message, I felt like coming back, especially after not having sports all summer, being able to have that platform, and you know people are going to watch. Like, all this talk about boycott this, boycott that, we see. We'll see.
Yeah.
You don't have sports, you're going to watch. I don't care what you have to say. Like, you can pretend you can go out there and say you're not.
Or basketball fans, you know, like that. But here's the thing. You want to watch hoops, you're going to get a message.
But that's what I felt like was the most effective thing to do, and I'm glad that that's going to happen, cuz that's meaningful to me, to use that platform.
And like me and you were talking about it right now. If they weren't playing, we wouldn't be talking about it.
Right. Right.
If they weren't preparing to play, we wouldn't be talking about it. Like, now they're on Zoom calls that media from all over the world could watch. Their messages are on Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, I guess. I don't know. I'm not a TikTok dude. But before they came here, their messages weren't being amplified. They weren't really saying anything. So, you know, it's a squeaky wheel, get the oil.
Right. Like, what I don't want it to happen, what was afraid of happening if they didn't come back, was you don't want to preach to the choir, right? Like, we are always going to look for that message, and we are going to, you know, follow them and follow them on social media. But if you necessarily don't want to hear that, you can find ways of avoiding it. But if you want to watch basketball, you're not able to avoid it.
Yeah, and I talked to, what I'll be curious about too is what players decide to keep the social justice message on their jersey for the entire season. Like, Marcus Morris is one of those guys. Like, to me, 4 days isn't enough. I'm going to have it. So for the guys that decide to have it on the entire season, after 4 days, the social message is on the top of the number. Their name is on the bottom of the number. So I think that's kind of cool, too.
Yeah.
You know, it's still there.
Yeah, and it shouldn't go away.
Yeah, and it will be interesting. It'll probably drive some media crazy. Hey, Kyle, how did you do? Score 40 today? Well, I want to talk about Breonna Taylor right now. I want to talk about Black Lives. Like, it's coming. Like, get ready for it. There's going to be some very interesting post-game interviews. Don't turn the TV off when the game's over.
But that's what I was hoping for, right? Like, Marshawn Lynch obviously did this completely unrelated to social justice, right? But, like, he was one of the real memorable people to say, you know what, this is actually my time, And if I want to say I'm just here so I don't get fined, I'm going to say that. And there's nothing that you can do about it, right? And we're just, you know, we're nerds. We're dorky media people. We don't matter. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not getting upset with what an athlete says in post-game press conference, right? Like, just because I have to get a sound bite. But to me, that's the space, right? Like, you want to hear from the players? So just keep the message going every time there's a hot mic.
Another thing is, the players have the ability to use the media now more than ever. Now, it ain't just the undefeated listening. Everybody's listening. Everybody wants to amplify their messages. Well, not everybody, but most do. And so, you know, media that you wouldn't think would tweet it out or write about it, now they're writing about it. Now they're talking about it. And I think the challenge for them is keeping it going past the first week. It's going to be loud the first week because every team's going to have a first game.
Right.
And they're like, the Raptors aren't playing for the first time until the third day. So, okay, when the first round starts, how do you keep it going? How do you, like, these guys can't tire. They can't grow weary. They can't, like, well, I said it. No, I think they got, I don't think they will quit saying it. I think they will continue to give their messages. And, but whenever has the media been this helpful? Been disinterested, been like, yeah, we want to talk about it with you. Like, think about like all those press conferences when you saw civil rights leaders talking in the 60s and it was all condescending interviews. Yeah, so your movement, what are you trying to do now with your movement and your, you know, now it's like, tell us, you know? And so unlike the Lynch thing, we're not fighting against you.
Right.
We're with you. So use this. And the players, I think, get it. Like, the one thing, I'm like, oh, man, they're excited to see me. Like, because they know that's what I write about. So, yeah, I'm like, yeah, I like going to practice now. Like, they, what you want, Mark? Hey, Mark, I'm over here. Like, come talk to me.
Well, you're always popular. But I saw some shots today of the court. And I wasn't really knowing. I didn't really know what to expect visually.
And you don't know yet either. Wait till the digital stuff comes.
So there's more.
Oh yeah.
So you saw it today?
I seen it already. Saw it already.
And what do you think?
You know, seeing Black Lives Matter. I love seeing that on the court. I kind of feel like it might be like a 2K game.
Okay.
Like, I think they're gonna use some sound effects. Kind of like they did with, I guess they're going to do with baseball, or they're going to, you know. But it's gonna look like some futuristic, crazy game, because unlike baseball, they build their own environment.
Right.
Like, baseball has to go to that stadium, and you notice all those empty seats. I don't care how many cardboards they put there. But what they are going to do is, like, I think there are going to be some fans that are going to be able to, like, watch the game and look at something and, like, cheer and everything. You're going to see faces. It's going to be kind of unique. I think you kind of seen it in English Premier Soccer matches.
Yeah.
You've seen some of that. I think the NBA is going to incorporate some of that. And I asked somebody, I'm like, okay, so what if somebody does something out of pocket? You know, what do you – he's like, yeah, you know, it's going to be tape delayed. So if somebody does something they don't need to be doing, obviously you won't really be able to hear them only. But here's another thing to that point that's going to be funny is, like, Danny Green mentioned today is, yeah, there's going to be some stuff said on the court that people probably don't need to hear.
Right.
You've been at a playground. You know how it gets down at the playground. You've been at those pickup games and those gyms and listened. Man, trust me, I can already hear the DJ music amplified. They're going to have that loud, man. But the one thing that's going to be cool for the media, the seating is limited, but for when we do go to a game, we're like close. I haven't been as close since early in my career. We're getting back to these. We'll have these really close seats. I think because they have to put us close, because there's two tiers of media. I'm sure you know this. There's like the people in the bubble, but there are going to be some media outside the bubble. They get to come to the games, but I went in there and it's weird. Like, they're up above.
Because they're not in the same quarantine as you are.
They're going to be tested and stuff like that, but they're basically, I saw like the entrances, it's really strange, man. It's like I get off a bus, go into an entrance, and I go to the right, and then they have another checkpoint where people come in to the left. And I think they're like checking their temperatures and stuff like that. But like, check this out. Like, I got yelled at today because I went to Lakers practice, right? So you see this.
Right. Okay.
This opens my door, right?
Right.
But when I go into a practice area and I check in, I have to use this to check in. And I need a green light, which comes from every morning. I got to take my temperature with this electronic. Okay. It's an electronic gadget they gave us to take our temperature. Then I put this on my finger. And it gives you like an oxygen number.
Okay.
So then I go into my phone. I go into the NBA Health app. And I have to put in what my numbers were. It asks me, have I been around anybody that's had COVID? Have I been in a compromising position like in the last 24 hours? Like, they're asking me all these questions. And I have to say the truth on record. I mean, not nobody here that I know has it. So right. I say no. So today I go, and it was, I'm supposed to get like a blue and it was green, or a green and it was blue. And the guy's like, you didn't do your temperature yet. You didn't get your oxygen. I was like, oh man, I forgot. He's like, we're going to let you by, but you need to get that done or we're not letting you in. And I'm like, dang, they ain't playing. And I thought I was good because I got my COVID test at like 10 a.m.
Right.
I got that done early. That's important. I got that done.
And you have to do the nose swab every day.
Every day.
And it hurts, right?
No.
Not anymore? You're used to it?
We ain't got the ghetto test. Where they're swabbing your brain. Yeah. They had one brother doing my test who was a little rough, though, man. I had to tell him about himself. I'm like, come on, Carl. You're a little heavy-handed, man. You need to, like, can I get one of the ladies to do it again? Because they're a little nicer and more gentle. He want to shove his whole fist up my nose, you know? But it's weird. Like, they give me, they do it under my tongue.
Right.
Or they swab my tongue. And this lady today swabbed it twice. It was the first time I got my tongue swabbed twice. And then they put that in a jar, and then they do one nostril, put it in a jar, and another. Like, they do the tongue and both nostrils.
Well, I mean, it's good to hear that they're being so thorough, because they had, I mean, no positive tests of any of the players. That's great news.
I mean, shoot, nobody could be near nobody.
Right. Right, but I mean, there's been such, like, waves with this testing that, you know, you would have expected, like, even with quarantine, like, it would be possible.
Like, I saw a player yesterday, and I know you've seen players do Zoom interviews. So yesterday was like when all of us media were like, it was like the first day of school. We were able to go to all these interviews. When they're doing a Zoom call for people that are, like, say you wanted to listen to Lakers, right? You could get the Zoom code and listen to it. But then now there's actual reporters that are on the premises.
Right.
So they'll take questions from us, and they'll take questions from the Zoom call reporters. But before they start, the player has a mask on and like, here's Anthony Davis. We need you guys to social distance from him. And we all got masks on too.
Right.
So yesterday, one player had to do a Zoom call and they're like, no, you can't. And I'm like, what do you mean? Go get your mask. You know, because when they're practicing with each other, they're not wearing a mask. They're doing their thing. So he had to like run all the way on the other side of the court, get his mask, before he could do his interview with the media. Like, they're not playing, man. They don't care who they are.
That's great, though. That's great to hear, because we really want to see it all the way through, right? Like, this is such an unprecedented situation. It's so unique, and there's so many factors to how it could go wrong that them being thorough all the way through is super necessary.
Yeah, I mean, for Russ Westbrook not to be able to get access until, like, tonight, I think he's coming tonight, they don't care who you are, man. They're not playing.
What's it like for you guys? What's it like for the media? Like, you obviously only have certain places that you can go, but I saw like media posting like the pool, and I think you posted like some wine, right?
Yeah, I took that down.
Yeah.
that was the drinking wine post. When I woke up in the morning, I like 8 bottles of wine in a row.
Look, maybe you're doing a tasting. You know, you don't have to drink all of them.
I was doing a tasting, all right.
I mean, but do you guys have any ability to, like, you know, not socialize, like, to the point where it's, you know, unsafe, but like,
thing, like, you have a pool, and this is like funny. Like, we have a pool, one pool, and it's simple. Like, imagine like a courtyard by Marriott pool.
Right.
This ain't the Ritz-Carlton pool.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And we have a gym. Let's say it's a residence in gym. Right? Let's say the Ritz-Carlton gym.
Right.
So you see what I'm talking about, right? I'm not clowning it. I'm just telling you what it is. So we got people from other teams coming to use our stuff. I'm like, y'all got, like, amazing stuff. Like, why are you coming over here? We got this little piddly stuff. Let us have our piddly stuff. Like, Miles Simon was swimming in our pool the other day. I'm like, y'all probably got an infinity pool over here, over there. Why are you in our pool? I was mad. Like, go on your water slide. I saw your water slide. We ain't got no water
slide.
Like,
we can't go over to your side. Yeah.
Like, so we're watching, like, I went to Lakers practice today, and, like, outside the teams had their, like, rooms where they could go to meals and hang out and stuff like that. Oh, they had the lady with the chef hat, the tall glass, and the only person that was funny, Taco Fall was the only one that could, the glass is, like,
too short for him.
They're, like, getting sliced steak and quail and duck and stuff, and they're, like, handing it to him. And then we're going to our place, and it's like some refrigerator, like, open the refrigerator. Oh, what did mom cook today, you know? So I don't want to hear no griping from the players. They got it really good.
So the players do have good, like, appropriate food.
I heard food for them is, over the last 3 days, got tremendously better.
Okay, that's good. Plus, I mean, look, they are.
They could get takeout. Like, one of the coaches told me he got, like, takeout from, like, Ruth Chris or something. Like, who gets takeout from Ruth Chris?
Right.
You know what I mean?
Well, everybody these days, but.
So they're, like, offering them food, like, in by their team room that they could go get all day, and then they're getting per diem.
Right.
So they have restaurants that they can. We don't have any restaurants, so. We don't have one, no restaurants and no bars. So we got to buy our own liquor, and our food is, like, it's like college. Like, we go to a food area, and like, so today I opened up the, I don't know if you care to know all this stuff, but it's kind of
interesting. No, I'm fascinated by it.
I opened up this, it said hot fridge. Only thing I don't like is they want us to keep our hands clean, but everybody got to touch this fridge to get their food. That's, like, the only thing I've had a problem with. So you open it up, okay, today they have croissant with egg and... Then they have some bacon down here, so you can take bacon. And then I told somebody today, I'm like, I don't really eat pork like that. Can y'all bring, like, turkey bacon yesterday? Can you bring that? And, you know, us Californians eat healthier.
Right.
I didn't see nothing gluten-free, but, like, so I brought, you'll laugh at this, I brought my own, like, granola.
Mm.
I bought that because I want to, like, mix it with Greek yogurt in the morning and have some turkey bacon. And another thing you laugh at over there in the corner, I brew my own coffee.
Well, you're just making it work, right?
Yeah, I'm making it like home. So at home, I grind my own beans.
Oh, you got all out.
I grind my own beans. Malika Andrews, like, yo, can I get a cup of that Spears coffee? Like, yeah, I got it. So
you're going to turn into Starbucks.
Yeah, I got to be quiet about it because now she's going to start telling people, and I'm going to have people knocking on the door asking me if she's like, the coffee here is horrible, but your coffee's amazing. So I gave her a cup. So I'm like, well, just text me a time and I'll just leave a cup outside my door. But I'm brewing my own coffee here. And then I bought a wine. I'm a wine snob too.
Right.
I do that a little bit.
I did.
And then I bought a wine fridge. They haven't brought it yet.
So you can have stuff, like, shipped to your room.
Oh, well, I went to the shipping center. It's like UPS. Like, not UPS store, like a UPS distribution center. The lady told me that I overheard somebody yelling there today, the boxing equipment's here.
boxing equipment.
Yeah, and then another lady I asked somebody, I'm like, what's the heaviest piece of package you've had? And they said 300 pounds. Did you see the movie Raiders of the Lost Ark?
Yeah.
Remember at the end when they put the Ark of the Covenant in the warehouse?
Yeah.
And they had all those boxes? That's how this place looks. It's like all these boxes of stuff that just keeps coming in. So I'll show you this. So in here, since I have a refrigerator, and I'm mad because my wine fridge hasn't came yet. I got like Yao Ming.
Okay.
Frank Family Vineyards.
Very nice. So your fridge is just basically full of wine right now and not food.
James Cole. And then Judd Wellenbrock from Charles Krug. He makes a private stash every year. Like, he has to make one barrel a year to keep his license.
Okay.
So it's called Santanalo. This is his own private. He just sells it to friends.
Okay.
So
you have that as well.
But I got to mess with this refrigerator because I think it's too cold.
So, you know, I like all my wine kind of the same temperature.
Yeah.
I'm not snob about it. Like, I like for the red wine to be like a little bit cool.
Yeah, I think this is too cold.
Yeah. So I keep all mine together.
So I'm like fussing at this lady every day about my wine fridge. I think somebody got me, man. Because it came a week ago and nobody could find it.
Oh yeah, someone got you for sure. LeBron might have got you.
No, he probably has a real fridge.
That's true.
You don't have nothing. Mine was 12 bottles. But I got people, like, they don't have microwaves in here. So I think people are starting to order microwaves.
So people are really just, like, setting up shop for the long haul.
If you could be here for 3 months, you might as well be at home.
It's wild.
Right?
It really is. It's, like, the wildest time. But I'm really impressed with everything everybody is doing and just making it work.
Yeah. No, it's just, it's we'll be bounded by this no matter what. And I really hope it stays on the positive in every facet, especially the health facet. And I hope there's no like altercations or there's no problems, no positive tests. I think at some point, it's inevitable somebody will get it somehow. You know what I mean? Maybe from that fridge that I keep talking about. They're probably going to listen. They're going to have to change the fridge thing.
Like, I'm with you, though. I've never been a big handle person. Like, I don't like touching door handles.
So I got to start wearing these again. That's what I keep forgetting.
Gloves, yeah.
You want to see what they got in abundance here?
Yes.
Don't be jealous. You ready?
Okay. Oh, so they have all of them. All the Clorox wipes, man, in the world.
Look, I got more than two packs in here.
That's
I got
crazy.
The big wipes.
That's crazy. I didn't know what.
Yo, I got four. Who want these? On eBay right now.
I had no idea what you were about to show me. That was not what I expected. Wipes. But that's, yes. Now I see why. Don't be jealous.
On eBay. I need to start selling these.
You could. You could. You really could. And that's a shame. But that's where the... of course, Disney has all of them. Of course. That makes sense.
Yeah. All the tests. All the Clorox wipes.
Right? Well, I appreciate you coming on with me. It was great to talk to you. It's fascinating what you guys are dealing with and going through. But I'm telling you, like, man, we're all rooting for you. Rooting for the guys. I'm so excited to have basketball back. I got my Miami Heat on.
Uh-oh.
Right now. Hey, I'm ready.
I'll tell you this. The Eastern Conference is going to be a battle royal, boy.
I think it's very interesting.
Like,
I don't think it's
like
anybody's...
There's like six teams that literally could win the East.
Yeah.
And your team is one of them.
I know.
And the thing about your team... is you got two sinister people, Jimmy Butler and Iguodala, and they could somehow figure out a way to will that team to up. They're going to upset somebody. And when it happens, say, yep, you told me. Miami Heat are going to mess up somebody's plans. I don't know who yet, But Jimmy Butler and Iguodala together, they're two of the most sinister masterminds in NBA history. So they're going to scare their team into playing good.
I just think it's like, it's such a unique situation that I don't really think you can predict who, with like any sense of conviction, what's, because we don't know what's going to happen. There's so many factors in it. You can't really predict who's going to win the championship or be in the finals like you have in years past.
No, I mean, and then it's funny, I keep getting an asterisk question. Yeah, there's going to be an asterisk. Whoever wins this, this will be the hardest NBA championship ever won. And they'll always be remembered. And there's going to be documentaries. I mean, this is, and we're only a weekend.
I know. Like, I know.
Like this lady told me today, she's like, yeah, we got 3 more months still. And I'm like, dang. Like, I've been here 8 days, but I feel like I've been here already 8 months.
Well, keep focused.
But it's good. It's fun. It's cool.
It is.
It's basketball heaven.
It is. It's like sleepaway camp hoop in a pandemic.
I mean, you could make an argument that there has never been more collection of basketball talent on Earth in one spot than here, Olympics included.
The best in the world, in the bubble.
It starts going down tomorrow with the preseason, I mean, like the, you know, the exhibitions. And then next week, let's go.
I can't wait. I cannot
wait.
Let's
see if your caliente do anything.
I hope so. I hope so. I'm looking forward to it, man. I miss basketball so much.
But you know what's going to trip you out, and I'm going to prepare you for it. Like, the games are going to be going on all day. Have you thought about that? Like, I think, like, games are going to start at, like, 11, and last game might be, like, 9 o'clock.
That's wonderful. Like, I'd love to sit on my couch and watch sports all day.
You're going to have basketball from the time you – and you're on the West Coast, so you're going to have it from the time you wake up to the time you go to bed.
Good. I need to get sick of watching basketball again. That sounds great.
Yeah.
It's been so long. Well, super proud of you going through out there. I know this is just the beginning, but we're all counting on you guys, and we got your back from afar, but appreciate everything that you're doing. I'll definitely catch up with you again. Over the next
and
few
I'll say,
months.
I need a gourmet care package from LA, man. Can I get?
Yeah, I gotta get you like some vegan chips,
bread.
Like some seaweed chips. What else we got out here? Something from Trader Joe's.
Yeah.
I'll get you some, maybe some, like, do you like Chardonnay?
Yeah.
Yeah. We'll get you a Cali Chardonnay. Yeah,
we got my wine fridge will be located by then.
Yeah, hopefully. I'm telling you, somebody got you.
You know it's bad because I said, so should I call Best Buy and let them know? They're like, no, we're still looking for it. I'm like, somebody got me.
Yeah. I mean, I would just call them and say that it's not been delivered yet, and they'll probably bring you another one.
Yeah.
And then if you have two, then you just return it. But at least then you get one.
No, I'll just have more wine.
Then you have two fridges. Sell it on OfferUp afterwards. All right, Mark. It was so good to see you. Thank you so much. Stay safe and healthy and, you know, sane as you can. And we'll talk soon.
Yes, ma'am. Good to talk to you.
You too.
Hey, folks. It's your man, Keyshawn Johnson, here to talk about Angie. Formerly known as Angie's List, your go-to home services. Marketplace for getting all your jobs done well. Now, you might be wondering, what exactly is Angie? Well, let me tell you. It's the nation's largest home services marketplace, connecting over 150 million homeowners with skilled professionals to tackle any project, big or small. As a homeowner myself, I always have things I want to work on for my house, whether it's general home renovations or fun projects like putting in a pool. With over 200,000 pros in their network, Angie makes it a breeze to research, compare, and hire pros, ensuring every job is done well. Whether you're fixing a leaky faucet or planning a full kitchen renovation, Angie's got your back. And get this, folks. Angie's pros aren't just any old contractors. They're your neighbors, often running small businesses right in your community. Plus, they've been rated and reviewed by others in your area. So you know you're getting quality service. So why stress over home projects when you can turn to Angie? from finding the best price to scheduling a pro at your convenience. Angie's got you covered every step of the way. So get started today at Angie.com. That's Angie.com, or download the app today to get started on getting all your jobs done. That's Angie, your trusted ally in home services.
All right, what up, Heller? What's going on with her to quit it?
What's up, Joy? I just saw you at work like a little while ago.
Not too long ago. Now we're face to face.
Virtually.
We were not face to face at work. We were social distanced.
Hella far. It's a big stench. All right, let's get into it. The NBA bubble is working, Joy. Friend of the show, Chris Haynes, reported on Monday that there were zero positive tests out of the 346 players tested for COVID-19 on campus since the last announcement on July 13th. You know what that means? We're less than 10 sleeps away from some real hooping. Joy, bubble-skiball is going to be awesome. Win it or quit it.
Bubble-skiball is going to be awesome. I'm super hyped for bubble-skiball. Bubble-skiball. And that is great news because I just got a alert on my handy dandy alert thing. Also known as a phone. Yep. That 95 NFL players have tested positive. That's a lot. So the fact that no NBA now, in all fairness, they've not been quarantined in a bubble.
Yep. This is pre-bubble. It's pre-bubble. There were some NBA guys coming in pre-bubble with some positive tests.
There were a lot of positive tests.
I don't think it was 95, but yeah.
It was 95, but they are not quarantined, and yeah. So that's a whole other conversation. But I'm very excited that this is working. Yep. I am excited that the biggest problem is that there's just like some questionable food choices in the beginning. It's working. Like, we're going. It's happening. I saw the pictures that Chris Mannix and Mark Medina posted of the court with the screens around it. I think it looks great. It was way better than I had even actually imagined. It's gonna. We talked to Mark earlier. He said that they might be putting like fans' faces up. Doing some like crazy digital stuff. It's going to kind of look like 2K.
Definitely for that.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to it. I they're going to have to pump in a lot of crowd noise. Like, we know that because we can't be hearing what they're talking about on the court, and it's just going to create an environment. There are going to be people there because the media is going to be there.
Yep.
So I'm excited, man. I'm glad that it's working. I had so much anxiety about how this was going to go. Obviously we've got a long way to go. We've got 3 months.
Yep,
but make it through. But we got Hoop back. I got my Heat. I'm ready to go. I'm ready to watch some sports. I'm ready to watch some basketball. Yeah, I see you, but your team's not gonna be there.
Warriors ain't gonna be there. But listen, we made the finals in 2019, and it took all the injuries in the world to set us up to be in this prime position to watch everyone else bubble skip ball it up while we chilling. Steph Curry's playing golf right now.
Yeah, he is chilling. That right also now. Said the NBA also announced that they are going to do the NBA awards based off of, you know, whatever happened before the stoppage, which makes sense because we're essentially going into the playoffs and these are regular season awards. And LeBron talked about, you know, how he, you know, feels like he probably should be considered, in so many words, for the MVP this year.
Yep.
And I've been consistent that LeBron is the MVP all year. I don't like that, like, every year the narrative or like the criteria for MVP changes. Yep. But because it does, that makes all the more of a compelling argument for why LeBron should be the MVP this year.
That doesn't
take anything away from Giannis, who had an incredible season. But just because Giannis's numbers are better than last year when he won the MVP doesn't mean the circumstances are the same.
Different season,
different circumstances, which means other players have different circumstances as well. LeBron has had an incredible MVP season. He deserves the MVP this year.
Right.
I hope they give it to him. He really should get it every year. But, well, maybe not last year, but most years LeBron should be getting it. And this year he definitely should. He's totally right. All they could say was that he wasn't in the West and that's why he wasn't getting the MVPs. Now he is in the West and he's crushing it. He's not getting the MVPs. They just keep changing the story.
And he's waving that flag back in their face. I love that argument.
And he should because it's bullshit. That's all you could hear. And he definitely deserved the MVPs those years. And I'm not saying that the other guys didn't. Like, there was, you know, we won Derrick Rose. But other than that, like, there's great seasons. Westbrook deserved it. Giannis deserved it last year. Like, guys have deserved it, but LeBron deserves it this year, and they need to give it to him.
That MVP is all Derrick Rose has, Joy. Don't take that away from him.
He's had an incredible comeback. I got to hand it to him.
Yeah, no, he's awesome. He's got his comeback, but it's all based around that MVP. Yeah, it's exciting. The MLB is bike. And you know that on Fox and FS1, we got the Boys of Summer. Oh, yeah. All right. 60-game sprint to the playoffs starts Thursday, Yankees-Nationals, and then the greatest rivalry in all sports, Giants-Dodgers. No restart for baseball. This is the whole season coming up. So 100% of the excitement in 38% of the games. Joy, I'm going to watch more baseball this season than I did last season, win it or quit it.
100%. 100%, without question. I mean, look, we all know the baseball season is long as hell, and you have whole week spans where, like, nothing happens that's really going to pertain to the postseason once you get to certain parts of the season because it's so long. This is amazing. This is my dream for baseball. This is baseball designed for me. For me, the millennial, my little, you know, goldfish. I can't keep focused on anything for 5 seconds. This is perfect.
Shiny thing. What's that shiny thing? Yeah.
Shiny thing. Shiny bouncing balls, right? Like, this is amazing. I'm really looking forward to baseball being back. I can't wait to see how the teams are managed. Like, what do you do with the pitchers now? Like, is it going to be, like, completely reliant on, like, monster dongs? Like, I'm so hyped for this season. And it's not just because I'm excited for sports to come back, because obviously I am. But, like, I just think that this is going to be so unique, both for NBA and MLB, that, like, not only are we getting sports back, we're getting them back in a completely different way than we've ever seen them before. Yeah, and the NFL too. Like, getting rid of preseason is a great move.
Get out of here.
Get the hell out of here with this preseason. Nobody watches it. No one cares. Fans don't go. Nope. It only makes money for owners. It's completely irrelevant. Bye. All of these adjustments, I think, have been great for these leagues. I know they're not going to stay this way. Obviously, NBA bubble is not an ideal scenario. It's the only team that are only, I'm sorry, league that is applying that extreme of a situation to coming back. But I'm really hyped for baseball. I think it's going to be such an enjoyable way to consume the sport, because it's going to be so urgent and every game is going to matter so much. And the best part of baseball is the postseason, when every game counts. And in this scenario, every game counts.
Off the bat.
Every game counts. Off jump. So I can't wait. I'm looking forward to it. Obviously, it's going to be on Fox and FS1. But I'm hype. I'm so hype for sports to come back. It feels like a moment. You know what I mean?
Yep. It's gonna be a moment.
I might cry. I'm pretty sure I'm gonna cry. Like, I'm probably gonna cry. I don't even care. Like, I'm probably, like, there's a good chance that I cry. For real.
Yeah. We're at the point now where everyone misses the national anthem. That's how long it's been since sports happened.
I just wanna hear an announcer. You know what it is? It's like we haven't, because we've had a social distance through all this, we obviously have not had the ability to just watch something live of the magnitude. Obviously, UFC, and we've had golf, and
I've been in that English Premier League soccer hard.
Yeah, but like, this is our stuff. You know what I mean? This is what we do. And I just, like, I need it. I'm so happy for it. Like,
Sports is like the only part of American culture that we can still be proud of. So let's bring it back.
And I am. I'm genuinely proud. Like, you know, that alert from the NFL is kind of scary, but, like, also they haven't been quarantined the way that, you know.
There's plenty of time still for them.
There's time, and, you know, they're just doing the initial testing. So now those guys can quarantine and get cool for training camp and so on and so forth. Like, what these leagues have been able to do and manage through this international health crisis, the decisions they've had to make, it's just, and, like, just the pressure that they're under to get it done. I mean, I'm talking to Mark, testing every single day, help. You have to check your temperature.
From anyone.
Yeah. Yes. I mean, it's just, it's wild. And honestly, I'm very proud, because it's a lot to deal with and it's a lot of pressure. And it's going to be huge for all of our mental health. I know, for me, like, listen, like, sports is a part of my everyday life, right?
And job, I mean, and if for us, for both of us, it's even, it's more than
well, it is our job, but our like, I try to not put, I try to separate myself from that because that's extremely selfish, right? And I like to fancy myself a good person. So like, I don't want to add that onto what is obviously like a very personal thing for me, but yep. just as the, also the reason why that is our job is because we love sports.
Love
so,
it. We love,
you know, sure. not having it.
It's been tough.
Like, I was upset when Last Dance was ending. I'm like, huh.
I mean, I don't believe in video games and I bought PlayStation.
We can't live tweet with each other. Like, Twitter but is such an enjoyable wow. place when you're live tweeting a game.
Wow, live tweeting is going to break Twitter. I'm also excited specifically in baseball. I like the sound of, as you said earlier, huge dongs. I like the sound of
monster dongs
hitting the stands. Like in batting practice, it's gonna ring. It's gonna be loud. Smack!
Hey Donnie, what's up? What's going on High Key Low Key this week?
What is up? All right, High Key Antonio Brown announced his retirement from the game of football for the second time in 10 months. Low Key, AB can now fully focus on dethroning Damian Lillard or Shaq, depending on your taste, as the best athlete rapper out there. Joy, have you heard Himothy? And if you have, you should agree that he's got a lot of work to do.
I have not heard it. I have had things to do.
Your ears are lucky. Yeah.
I'll take your word for it. You know, I really don't get into the constant ebbs and flows of Antonio Brown and the NFL mm-hmm. and coming back and Seattle wants him and Tom Brady wants him and, you know, yeah. whatever else. But I just feel like he continues to pop up in the news for various reasons. And the reality is Antonio Brown is not going to play in the NFL again. He comes back and he's going to have to serve a suspension anyway.
Yeah.
He's constantly retiring now, so he's in that space. I just don't see him, A, being worth it to a team to deal with whatever he's going to bring to the table that particular day, which is completely unpredictable as we know. But also, he just... It's just such a disappointing outcome, right? Like, and what breeds disappointment is expectations. So maybe yeah. it's on me, maybe it's on us that we're disappointed in Antonio Brown, but he just had the potential to be one of the greatest to ever do it. I mean, his stretch in Pittsburgh, his story of just how he came into the league and to become
yeah.
the best receiver in the league at one point, and then now, even despite everything that's going on and has happened with him, to still be had brought up continuously in conversations as someone who could realistically rejoin the league despite his circumstances just shows how incredibly talented he is. So whether it's right or wrong of me to be disappointed in it, in the situation, in him, this is just how I feel. And, like, I don't see him coming back into the league. I don't see a team putting themselves in that situation. And even if they do, he still has to serve a suspension from the NFL. So I just don't see it happening. And I think it's just going to go down as one of those stories where it's just you talk about him and it's like, yeah, what could have been?
So much talent.
If whatever needed to happen along his way to get him back on track that didn't happen or couldn't happen, who knows? It's just a disappointment.
Word. All right, High Key, Mavericks owner Mark Cuban and Senator Ted Cruz got into a Twitter back and forth over the most triggering form of protest this century, kneeling during the national anthem. Low Key, Cruz's What About China response is really just another version of What About Chicago or But Black on Black Crime. Today's secret word is deflection.
Definitely. It's, look, he felt like he burned him with that What About China,
yeah.
you know, or talking tough. I don't That's what he said. He brought up China. I'm paraphrasing, okay?
Yeah.
Here's the reality. Yes, there are some things going on in China that definitely involve some human rights issues. We don't know exactly what. We're not in China. And that is the entire point.
Exactly. Right?
What about is the quickest way to say, you don't really want to have a conversation about what we're talking about. You want to try and either discredit me as an individual, so therefore we can't have the conversation, or just completely, like you said, deflect over into something else so that we're talking about that and not talking about the conversation at hand. Listen, yeah. when it comes to the NBA in China, we know it was a disaster, right? We know it cost them millions of dollars. We know how this all went down. The reality is we don't live in China. We live in the United States of America. So I want to fix the problems that are here. That doesn't mean I don't care about the suffering of other people in other countries, but there's nothing I can do about that. I can't do anything about that. And neither can Mark Cuban, right? He is a citizen of the United States of America. Could he put like money and effort into it? Of course. But why does he need to explain that to Ted Cruz? He doesn't. So what he's talking about pertains to us as citizens of the United States of America, our national anthem, and what we're protesting that's going on here in our country, which, by the way, Ted Cruz is a politician in.
Yes, he's somebody who can make effective change right now.
So he's the exact person that we should be talking to. And instead of talking about that, he wants to talk about another country that he's not a politician in, that he can't do anything to change either. So stop trying to change the subject. Stop talking about Chicago. Stop talking about black-on-black crime, which, by the way, you all don't know nothing about anyway. And it's not even a thing. It's not even a thing.
Yeah.
It's a phrase that was made up by racist people to make black people seem more aggressive and violent and to have a tendency towards crime than white people.
Right. It's just crime.
Which is untrue. It's just crime. That's just what it is. Not to get into a whole other conversation, which is not what we're doing.
That's how it happens.
But yes, stop deflecting.
All right. High key. After several San Francisco Giants players and manager Gabe Kapler kneeled during the national anthem before a preseason game, hashtag boycott MLB began trending among digital racists everywhere. Low-key, that's fine. Go away and enjoy cornhole or bowling or your beloved hot dog eating contest while we enjoy all the home runs, slam dunks, and touchdowns to ourselves. Good riddance.
Good riddance is right. Oh, I'm so tired of these boycott people. I'm going to boycott Kleenex. I'm going to boycott Starbucks. I'm triggered. I am going to boycott baseball. I can't. However I feel about this is all that matters, and I'm so important that if I don't watch this sport, it's going to stop existing because there's so many other people that think exactly like I do, and I really actually don't care about baseball that much or sports for that matter, so that's why it's totally going to work for me because you don't really care. There's been no sports all summer. You're not boycotting nothing, okay? And if you are, you were not excited about sports coming back in the first place. I'm sorry. I'm losing my mind without sports, okay? I've kept it very chill, I feel like I've been very chill.
Kept it together.
Yeah, not having sports, okay? Which is an everyday part of my life since I was a child, okay? So other than some, like, look, I'm not saying that there isn't something that baseball could do to offend me to get me to stop watching, right? But you guys got to get it together with this national anthem stuff, okay? We are past that. If you are still talking about this, i.e. Ted Cruz, i.e. our president, or anyone else who is so triggered by the idea that you would peacefully protest to bring awareness to police brutality, if you're so bothered by the idea that someone would do that, I have to ask you, are you that bothered that a police officer would murder someone?
Period. Where's that same energy?
Where is that energy? Now, if you have the matching energy, then maybe we can start having conversations, but I don't think you do. So I'm tired of hearing about it. Like, you are, what are you even outraged about? Because the national anthem is not about the flag. It's not about the military. It's not about police. You're not honoring the police. When did we do something to honor the police? What is this? What are you even talking about? What are you even talking about? The military, at least I can understand, because you've been brainwashed into believing that the national anthem is about the military. Because might I remind you again, factual, not making things up, players didn't used to be on the field for the national anthem. Used to be in the locker room. And then the military paid the NFL to put on these productions before the game with the players out there to recruit people to join the military. Very effective, might I add.
Yeah, that works.
However, a result of that action was that people then started associating, we stand for the national anthem and we sing the national anthem in order to honor the military. No, it is the national anthem of our country, which is made up of all kinds of different people from all kinds of different walks of life, some military, some not. I come from a very military family. Right, I have police in my family. I have many military members in my family, active military now. Okay? Right. They know how I feel about them and their service. The national anthem is for everyone. You just allowed yourself to be massaged, your brain, your way of thinking, to think that this is about the military and somehow now it's about the police, which I'm sorry, I've never sang the national anthem or stood for the national anthem, not one time in my entire life, to honor the police.
It just doesn't happen.
It's 1,000% not a thing. So now that we've gathered, we've stumbled into that territory, there's just really no end to it. But yeah, I mean, if you were going to boycott baseball, bye, have fun, enjoy whatever you were doing before this, because you're not really a sports fan, sorry. There's been no sports all summer, and just whatever.
We're starving. People are starving for sports. Bye. You're not going to pass up a full-course meal.
Bye, Felicia. No. I got my long quarantine nails now.
They look good.
Bye, Felicia. Hey, T, what's the tea this week in the Culture Report?
Hey, Joy. So I know we didn't want to talk about Kanye, but it's like, how can we not? Especially with everything going on. I mean, he held this campaign event in South Carolina, and Joy, it was really hard to watch. He had this emotional breakdown. Then he was saying things like, Harriet Tubman never freed slaves. She had them just working for other white people. He then had a Twitter meltdown, saying the movie Get Out is about him, and apparently Kris Jenner is ignoring him. And then he announced that he's dropping an album on Friday. So, I mean, it was a lot. I mean, most of the posts have since been deleted, but girl, Kanye was literally all over the place. And I think at this point, I'm kind of just concerned, like, for his mental state. I really hope he gets the help he needs, because everything happening, again, it's concerning. So what are your thoughts?
I mean, I just want to know how many times we have to keep saying that Kanye needs help. And then Kanye drops an album and we're like, genius, genius. And then we just forget about everything that he said and did. I mean, did we forget that he went to the White House and was kicking it with Trump?
We didn't forget.
Do I need to go down the list of things that Kanye has pulled over the years? And listen, do I like Kanye's music? Yes. Do I like Kanye's shoes? No. Do I think that Kanye is a creative genius? Yes, but you can also be a creative genius and be a complete narcissist and maybe be having a mental breakdown. But I'm not a psychologist. I haven't talked to Kanye. I don't know if this is just his personality and he's fooling all of us, or if he really is actually having a problem. I'm like, it looks like he's having a meltdown. It looks like he needs some help. Some things that have happened to him over the course of his career, when it comes to that, would point to that, yeah, he's having some mental issues right now. The bottom line is Kanye needs people around him to keep it real with him, that he listens to, and he clearly doesn't have that, because this is nonsense. I mean, the Harriet Tubman thing, you know, I saw it, and I'm like, yeah, this is what Kanye does. It's like a cycle, right? Like, it's more Kanye stuff. Okay, so Kanye's running for president. I feel more comfortable in saying that no one is taking that seriously at this point, right? No one of a significant amount of people, to the point where, like I made before, we don't have time to talk about Kanye running for president, right? Like, I don't want to entertain it. I don't want to validate it. I don't want to give it energy, because we have real things happening that need our attention and our energy, and it is not Kanye's stuff, right? It's not about Kanye right now. It's just for 2020, it can just not be about Kanye, right? So, am I angry at Kanye? No, because this is not surprising to me. This is what Kanye does. And whether it's because he's a narcissist, whether it's because he's really having mental issues or a mental breakdown and seriously needs help, or because he is just calculated in everything he does and he wants to be in the conversation before he drops an album that may be all about how he doesn't like Donald Trump and, you know, we need to move into the future in a different direction. Who knows, right? Because we never know what's going on with Kanye. I don't have any close ties to Kanye, so I can't shoot him a note and tell him to calm down or get help or do whatever. I just think for the rest of us, as far as him running for president, irrelevant to have that conversation, and make sure that you check anybody who's talking about they're going to write in someone or vote for Kanye. No, all right? Let's focus on what needs to happen in this election and not give energy to anyone who's trying to distract, or not even trying to, but through their actions, distract from what needs to happen. That is very serious. We are talking about the future of our country. We are in a completely divided space, dealing with the pandemic, dealing with social justice issues. We don't have time to talk about Kanye running for president. That's not a real conversation. It's funny. It's, you know, we joke about it. We joke about Kim being in the office. No. All right. I'm not in the mood for the jokey jokes when it comes to that. Like, I'm tired. I need a nap. I need, you know what I mean? I need some peace in this universe for just 5 minutes. And Kanye is not bringing that. So I like Kanye's music, creativity, energy on stage, art. Sure. Can I separate that from all of this? Yes. But I don't want to have the conversation over and over and over again about Kanye needs help. Then go, if you have the ability to help Kanye then. Or let us know if this is just what Kanye does and he doesn't need help. And this is, and so we should stop paying attention to this stuff. I don't have it with Kanye.
So Megan Thee Stallion posted on Instagram that she's recovering from gunshot wounds.
Yes.
Like, we don't know much about this story, Joy, but apparently shots were let off in the sky. Tory Lanez was arrested on felony charges, but has since been released. And look, Megan is a victim. There's been a lot of support and people wishing her well. But girl, what has been annoying me about this situation is people not taking this seriously. I think people are making light of the situation. And there's nothing anyone can say to justify what happened to her. And it's like, you don't have all the facts. Like, these memes and videos about Tory's height, it's like, all right, Kiki, but like, we need to start protecting Black women at all costs. I think using her music in this situation, for me, it's just not okay. I'm just tired of seeing Black women unprotected. And it doesn't matter where she was shot. I'm hearing the foot. It doesn't matter. Like, the primary focus should be she was shot. So I feel like I'm just going to leave it there, that we should take it seriously. And I do love Megan as an artist, so I'm a little passionate right now. I'm definitely just praying for her recovery.
Yeah. I mean, we know Black women's health is never taken seriously, and it is a huge problem in this country, even within the medical community, where, you know, it's Black women's pain is never taken seriously. You're never actually suffering. You're really just tough. You're just exaggerating or trying to get attention. You're absolutely right. And I'm a Meg fan as well, but there's nothing funny about this situation. Like, the internet wants to make jokes about everything. And look, I'm not the PC police. I love a good joke, okay? And some things are funny and some things are just not. Just like I just said about the Kanye situation. It's not funny to me anymore. Like, the first couple times, okay, you jump on stage, do this, that, whatever, like, okay. But I'm tired of this. Like, what is it with him? You know what I mean? Does he need help? If he needs help, I can be compassionate about that. But you hear that, and then you hear him go over the top, and it's the things that he's saying are not helpful to anyone, and like, you know what I'm saying? So, like, everything, eventually it's like, okay, it's not funny anymore. And this is a situation that is not funny. Like, she could have lost her life. So she, right. By the grace of God, it was just her foot and she's still with us. And that doesn't mean that that's not going to have permanent damage to her health. Like, dancing is a part of her performance. Like, how is that going to affect her? And she's scared and traumatized. Like, can we just support each other and, like, you know, reach out with some compassion and empathy and realize, like, everything is not funny? I know I'm very preachy right now, right. But I'm very tired of this. Like, there is stuff that's funny, and we all have to, like, you know, laugh to make it through things, and I get that. You know, we have jokes about the pandemic, which really is not funny, but, like, you know, we have to find ways to make ourselves laugh and, like, bring some kind of lightness to everything that we're going through. But this is just not a situation where anybody needs to be making fun of. It's very serious, and we don't have the details, which is very bizarre as well. But I'm with you. I'm just hoping that she gets better quickly, and that she is safe, and whatever is going on in this situation, whoever did it is, you know, brought to justice, and that we just start taking care of each other.
I completely agree. Well, on a positive note, 2020 is the year of, like, for pregnancies. Nicki Minaj is pregnant with her first child. She posted the cutest photos on Instagram. Girl, can I just say the photo of her in these stripper heels? I'm like, this is so Nicki. Like, her maternity shoot was so cute. She's glowing. Joy, I already have, like, a little baby fever. So by the end of 2020, girl, it's going to be on a sky high. Am I the only one?
Yes, you are the only one with baby fever right now. I'm sure there's gonna be a lot of quarantine babies. You do have baby fever. I loved it. I thought it was so vintage Nicki. Just, you know, her over the top style, and she just looks, she looks amazing, like she always does. But you know, I'm happy for her. She said she wanted to retire, and that this is what she wanted, that she wanted to start a family, and she is. So she looks amazing, and Ciara looks amazing too. Ciara posted a picture, I think, earlier today or yesterday. She looks unbelievable. So, you know, these ladies are out here thriving during their pregnancy. If I ever choose to have a child, I still don't know that I'm going to do a pregnancy a pregnancy shoot. I haven't decided.
What? You have to.
I don't know. I think I might just disappear and then come back and be like, child, I made this.
They're here.
This is the baby. Like, you're like, see me pregnant, and then, like, that's it. Like, I don't know. But because I just commend, they're so, like, full of, like, light and energy, and, like, they just look amazing. I'm happy for them, both of them, Ciara and Nicki Minaj.
I know. And Katy Perry, too. I saw she was pregnant. Katie, I'm like, looks good too.
All these babies. Mm-hmm. See, that's you.
I know.
Let's see what that baby fever.
In due time. Yes.
No pun intended.
So I adore Yara Shahidi. She is such a boss, Joy. She's super talented and smart. So her and her mother are forming a production company called Seven Sun to develop scripted, unscripted projects for ABC Studios. And this is going to elevate underrepresented voices. So they're going to seek out projects that, like, touch on themes of history, heritage, culture, and joy. And I love everything about this. Like, Yara can do it all. I mean, she stars on Grown-ish. She's an executive producer, activist, and much more. She's mentoring and inspiring young people. And this is just the beginning for her. Like, she's building this legacy, and I love to see it. Joe, what do you think about this?
Yara is just magical. I love her. I love her whole family. They're all beautiful. But yeah, like, I follow her on Instagram, and she's just like, she's just life. Like, I love this news. I saw it yesterday. I can't wait to see what all of these Black creators are going to come up with and the stories they're going to tell. I love that she's working with her mother. Like, they have a close relationship. I'm very excited to see what they put out. Obviously, Grown-ish was a wildly successful show. Black-ish was a successful show. And she's just super talented. And I love seeing young talent not only, like, get the opportunity to do what they do, but also understand, like, the purpose and the need to bring others along as well. And I mean, she's thriving, and I'm here for it. I'm a huge fan.
Same. So Netflix, most expensive movie ever. Girl, $200 million. So the movie's gonna star, like, a power duo, Ryan Gosling and Chris Evans. Girl, and this Netflix action thriller is called The Gray Man. I don't really know much about this, but, like, Ryan and Chris Evans together, I'm gonna watch. Like, I'm sold just on the fact that they're gonna be in it. And then I also saw that Joe and Anthony Russo are directing, and they produce Avengers Endgame, 21 Bridges, and Extraction. So I'm like, this is gonna be great, because all those movies were great to me. So I'm looking forward to a lot of action, and of course, drooling over these handsome men. So I can't wait. Joy, I know you're excited.
I'm very excited. You know, I have to support anything that future Mr. Taylor is in. That's Chris Evans. Obviously, Ryan Gosling is taken by the beautiful Eva Mendes. Yeah, I mean, that's the production of it, obviously, like you said, the Russos and the Netflix and the money behind it. So, you know, it's going to be a well-produced film. But yeah, I mean, obviously, like, part of that budget is probably paying Ryan Gosling and Chris Evans as well as the directors. So, because it's, I mean, I don't know how, like, you're not doing the Avengers, right? So, like, where's all that money going? But I don't know anything about the actual story, so I don't know what to expect either. But listen, anytime Chris Evans pops up in the news, I'm going to have to participate, whatever that is. Like, huh? Okay, I'm there. Sorry, that's all you had to say. Let me see what's going on. You know, he could just stand there. Really, just let's play some music and he can stand there. I'll sign up.
Seriously?
You know, listen, I am a supportive woman. You know, as my future husband, I have to let him know that I supported his films. You know,
absolutely.
It's the right thing to do.
Future Mr. Taylor.
It's the future Mr. Taylor. Let him know. Send out that message. Send it out, internet.
He must know.
I don't think he knows yet, but he's probably gonna find out after this. Thanks so much for joining us this week on the Maybe I'm Crazy podcast. Make sure you subscribe on YouTube at Maybe I'm Crazy podcast. Follow us on all our social media pages at Maybe I'm Crazy pod, myself, Joy Taylor Talks. And you can listen to the podcast on any major platform, SoundCloud, Spotify, iHeartMedia app, and Apple Podcasts. Hope you have a great week, and we'll talk to you soon.
Maybe I'm crazy, maybe I'm not. Ooh.